I just want to welcome everyone to our fourth seminar in the PPS Success Mentor Teleclass series. And for those of you joining us for the first time, my name is James Phelps, and in addition to being your host for tonight's call, I am the PPS Success Dean of Education. I'm very excited to host our call tonight because our guest has become an integral, an essential part of PPS Success. We're joined this evening by Vidya McNeil, who will be guiding us through business basics, policy and procedures, why they are good for your business. Some of you may know Vidya as Paul's business manager, but that by no means exhausts what she brings to PPS Success and to her clients. In addition to being a PPS mentor, Vidya is a personal growth mentor, business coach, and organizational consultant who helps individuals and organizations achieve and sustain their goal of success. As a consultant, she has worked with a variety of organizations, including the Chopra Center for Wellbeing, the Diana Foundation, and the University of California at San Diego. I have had the pleasure of working closely with Vidya for nearly a year now, and I can tell you it has been just a transformative experience. She brings a keen, calm intellect to each and every project and has an incredibly refreshing ability to see through the nuts and bolts underlying business practices and procedures without the what I see as the ruthlessness that's sort of become commonplace in our financial culture. As a business manager, no doubt she's had a huge impact on our cash flow at PPS Success. And as a coworker, I have to say there's no doubt that she's made my job a lot easier and certainly a lot more joyful. To learn more about Vidya and the services she offers, I invite you to visit our mentoring page located in the PPS Success Mentoring section of our website at ppssuccess.com. Before we begin, I'll remind everyone that Vidya does have a downloadable handout for tonight's call, and you should have received a link to download that handout by email. However, if you didn't, I recommend that you go to the Mentor Teleclass page on our website, and you will find a link to download the handout there, right at the top of the page. And it's going to be a handy guide to have in front of you, too, so I recommend you do that. Also, we do record these calls, so if you happen to be in a high-traffic area or you're on a cell phone that might pick up some echo effects, I recommend that you mute your line until you have a question by pressing *6. And then if you want to join in the conversation, you can unmute your phone at any time by pressing any button on your phone pad. So with those details out of the way, welcome, Vidya. It's great to have you with us tonight.
Well, thank you, James. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for that introduction. And I have to say to everyone that's on the line, James is just a delight to work with, and we have a great working partnership. And so I'm very happy to share with you this evening about business basics, and particularly policy and procedure, why they're good for your business. And before we get started, I wanted to share a little bit about myself and then tell you a little bit about the teleclass format, how I'm going to be conducting that this evening. So as James said, I am a small business consultant. I'm also a coach. I'm also an integral therapist or psychologist, and I have been in my business now for 11 years. I've worked with a variety of organizations, a variety of different kinds of clients. I love working with people who are self-motivated to really make their business the very best business that they can possibly make, bringing the very best of themselves to their business and to their clients. And so for tonight's format, we'll be covering a lot of information, so I wanted to let you know how we're going to proceed with the call. I'd like to start with inviting anybody who's on the call, and I see that there's a few people that are here with us tonight, to just jump in and introduce yourself, please. I'd like to hear who you are, your name, where you're calling from, what intrigued you enough to sign up tonight to take this call, and how do you think this call will improve your work life? It's real important to me. I'm a kind of a hands-on person,
yes.
So and I can't see you. So go ahead and make your introductions. I'd love to meet you.
Hi, Vidya.
Hi.
Hi, Vidya. It's Rika speaking from New York City.
Hi. Very nice to meet you.
Yeah, we met in San Francisco at the conference last year.
Oh, wonderful.
So I'm excited to listen to your telephone conference. because
great.
I have my own business, but I always feel that I need to know more on how to run it better.
Okay.
More efficiently, mm-hmm. and also how to develop the business more as I'm working on self-development.
Oh, excellent. Well, you're going to learn some of those things tonight. And how do you think this class is going to really improve your work life?
I think it'll help me to focus more on moving out of the one side of my business that I'm involved in and have been for a long time and move into a newer direction uh-huh. and to be effective at doing that.
Oh, okay. Very good.
With a marketing strategy, perhaps, or just a newer idea of
okay.
how to do that.
Okay, great. Well, I hope that this class tonight will answer some of your questions. And at the end of the call, too, I'll open it up again for questions and answers and invite everybody to come back on and share with me their key points, what they got out of this class.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Sure, Lisa. Thank you.
Who else? Anybody else would like to introduce themselves and let me know what your name is and where you're calling from and why you've chosen to be online tonight with me tonight and how this class can improve your work life?
Hey, Vidya. This is Brent, Baton Rouge.
Oh, hi, Brent. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well.
Nice
doing
to
well.
Hear your voice.
Yeah, you too. Well, I wanted to get on tonight to kind of looking at branching out in different areas of business, open it up, help my wife's business out as well, and, you know, just kind of expand it and get back to the basics.
Great. Is your wife online with you?
Yeah, she's listening as well.
Okay, great. Well, welcome to her. And what's her name again?
Nicole.
Nicole, yes. Hi, Nicole. I'm glad you're with us tonight.
Yeah.
Super. Is there anybody else? Okay, we have a few shy people, so we'll just go ahead and get started. I hope that you were able to download the handout that I've provided for you. This is so that you can follow along with what I'm going to share tonight and make some notes. And it'll help you in learning and really grounding the information in a way that will spark some insight for you about your business and about how you're running your business. So with that, let's get started. Policies and procedures, for those of you who are not familiar with them, are a set of documents that describe your organization's policies for operation and the procedures necessary to fulfill those policies. And it's been my experience that most small business owners fly by the seat of their pants and they don't have these very important documents in place. And why is that? Well, oftentimes it takes a bit of attention. It takes, you've got to have a format and you have to have it delivered and articulated in a way where both your customers and your clients will know about them. So policies and procedures can be the lifeblood of your business organization and are important, very important business management tools. Once you have these in place, they can save you hundreds of dollars on costs relating to administering your business, not to mention the legal aspect of having the correct policies and procedures in place. So why is this important for small business owners or solo entrepreneurs? Well, every business has a series of core business processes that define the business model that the company uses. Written, they become one of the foundation elements of any system in which you're held accountable. So accountability, they really reflect your values. Policies should not be confused with procedures. So what is a policy? A policy is a definite course or method of action to guide and determine present and future decisions. They describe what is to be done and why it is to be done. So it's the what and the why of what has to be done. So then what is a procedure? Well, a procedure is a particular way of accomplishing something. It's an established way of doing things. A series of steps followed in a definite regular order, ensuring a consistent and repetitive approach to actions to help ensure that policies will consistently be carried out. So you can see that policies and procedures, they kind of go hand in glove. You can't really have one without the other. You can't have a policy without having the procedures that back it. So if you own your own business, company policies and procedures are essential to the ease in which you manage it. So you might think about why that might be, because they can certainly help you establish strong internal controls for regulatory compliance. And so they will help you standardize your bookkeeping and reduce waste, fraud, and abuse. They might address internet technology or asset management and security issues. They certainly do simplify payroll. They reduce your employee liability and turnover if you are a company that actually hires other people. They will improve your business operations with fewer errors, and they protect your assets and your employees. They will help you to quickly recover from catastrophes if that ever to ever come about. And they help to provide consistent answers. So those answers are most important for your client or your customer. As a business tool, policies and procedures can help you, the business owner, to, number one, communicate your company's business philosophies and desires into action. This is very important. To communicate the company's business philosophies and desires into action. So how are you going to go about doing things? They establish functional guidelines so that you're not wasting time and energy. They improve productivity with your processes. They help with you to design effective sales and marketing processes so that you're not wasting money or going down a road that doesn't provide good return on your investment. They will help you, the business owner, optimize operations and provide consistent delivery of all of your products or services. So these are some of the areas where policies and procedures can really help you, not only in your business, but also you, the business owner, or the manager who's in a bigger organization having to run departments and you're responsible for other people. Some of the business management areas that are best served by utilizing written policies and procedures are obviously in administration, accounting, customer service, finance and credit, information technology, your HR or your personnel, sales and marketing, security operations, and shipping, purchasing, and inventory. So I want you to think about why these policies and procedures might be good for those areas. And I'd like you to also consider as we go through these this content tonight, how this would benefit your business and where you might need to have written policies and procedures in place. So I'd like you to identify three areas of your business that can benefit from a written policy or procedure. And in the handout, you have an area there where you can just jot down some things. But since this class is small, I'd like to open up the lines and invite anybody on the line to kind of share with me what are the three areas in your own personal business that can benefit from a written policy or procedure. And I'll just open that up to Brent because I know he's a sharp business guy.
And just as a reminder that if you happen to have muted your phone line, you can unmute it at any time by pressing any button on your phone pad.
Got it. I found the unmute button. All right. Well, I'm doing work in coffee manufacturing and, you know, with food safety and everything, policy procedures are huge.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to have everything documented. And probably the biggest area where it comes in handy is is with the human resource side,
mm-hmm.
with employees. I mean, having something written down, being fair and consistent, going back to it. You're not showing any favoritism, you know, and you're not trying to rely on your memory, oh, how to handle that last time.
Yep.
That just gets you in trouble every time.
Yep. That's why you have a written policy and procedure down.
Right.
Excellent. If Nicole's there, Nicole, I invite you to share with us how you might use policy and procedure in your business as a lifestyle coach.
Oh, she stepped out of the room. I'm sorry.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, well, procedures as we've discussed above and as Brent contributed to, are tied to policies. Okay, by making explicit this relationship, it helps you to achieve your goals or strategic plan, ensuring understanding and compliance. And Brent mentioned that compliance is really important in his business. With controlled processes, procedures, policies, and forms, you now have the foundation to build your quality business. Knowing that you have a post-sales follow-up procedure supports a responsive customer service policy. Even better, knowing how you're going to handle a discontented customer because you have a policy in place will help you to be your best professionally by eliminating any uncertainty. Thus, you're going to produce a more stable business. And I'm sure you can all recognize the value of that. And I'm sure you've also all had the experience where perhaps you've been an unhappy customer yourself and you were not treated fairly or you were treated poorly because the return policy wasn't fair or the girl behind the desk didn't know what to do, and that's very frustrating. So that's the kinds of things we want to have in place. We want to have these things written out. A collection of procedures. Okay, what is a procedure? We're going to break this down. A collection of procedures is known as a process. Okay, we're all in process every day. And a consistent, well-defined process that can be measured, one, two, analyzed, and three, adjusted over time is key to success. So again, that is your defined process that can be measured, analyzed, and adjusted over time. Procedures are the steps that you're going to take, and they are designed with the end in mind. Okay, what do we want to be the outcome? Written clearly and simply, they can easily be followed by others. This is the essence of process management. So where do you begin? You start by organizing your thoughts. You know, start thinking about your business and all of the procedures and processes that are involved in your own particular business. So by organizing your thoughts, you can start creating an outline. You'll create it by a methodical and sequential process that is useful while you develop your policies and procedures. So to achieve this, you will need to have things written out. You can't just think about it in your mind. Just like what Brent said, he could get in trouble if he didn't have a document to refer to create consistency. And so that's why policies and procedures are written. And they're easily understood. And the policy and procedure statements that flow in a cohesive and logical form are always begun in an outline. So let's review these steps. Step one, define the issue. It's usually a problem or a task. And I want you to think about maybe an issue or a problem that you've got going on your own business right now. So the process of developing a policy or procedure begins by recognizing the need for written information that addresses a facility goal or challenge. So for instance, common healthcare policies relate to personnel issues, the need to perform tasks in a specific way, and to recognize health and safety concerns. Would the decision-making process be easier, fairer, and or more consistent if a policy was in place? You bet. Is the performance of the task so critical that it must be done by everyone all the time by the same manner? If the answer to these questions is yes, a policy in the first example and a procedure in the second case are necessary. Does that make sense to everyone? You're going to develop a, when you're thinking about your business, you're going to think about what is the problem or the issue or the task at hand. And so is there a policy that's needed to address this? And what would be the procedure necessary to support that? So number two, step two, you have to determine responsibility for the development. So when we're working with other people, say you are managing a team or you are working with like an independent contractor or anything like that, anything that has to do with another person in your business, you would want to know what your policy is if you are hiring them when it comes to HR, so vacations, holidays, and sick leave. Those would be some of the policies that you would have to have in place. And these affect all of your employees and should be developed by the manager or the administrator with company-wide responsibilities, somebody that has a pretty far vision and can see, you know, what's really going on in the entire business. And other policies, such as inventory, for example, are department-specific. Okay, so for those of you that are in, say, you know, the Paul's Holistic Lifestyle Coaching service, and you provide that service to your customers, you know, and you carried other products along with that, you might carry Paul's book, How to Eat, Move, and Be Healthy. You might carry some Swiss balls. You might carry some other foam rollers or things like that to support your clients. Or you might even carry supplements. Well, you would want to have, you know, a good procedure in place in order for you to track your inventory. And then what would be the policy if you started to get low on your inventory? Or what is your policy when you're choosing to purchase from another company? Does that company share your same values related to holistic living? Do they resource their base ingredients from socially responsible companies? If you're not aware, what can happen is that then you find yourself partnering with companies that are selling sub-quality products, and then you are then selling sub-quality products. So it's your responsibility to determine what's good for your company and then establish that policy and then the procedure behind that. Step three, you'll develop a draft of your policy or your procedure. And in larger companies, a team usually gets together and does this. But for solo entrepreneurs, they don't have a team behind them. So it's even more important to do due diligence to the process. Depending upon the policy or procedure being developed, information from the manufacturers of equipment and supplies or even your clients and your customers can be really beneficial. And if you have employees for whom policies will apply, those who must perform tasks described in an operating procedure are normally consulted as policies and procedures are developed and revised. So for the solo entrepreneur, you would probably do well to hire a coach or hire a mentor to run these thoughts and ideas by them so that you're clear about what you're doing and that you do your due diligence to make the best outcome possible, not only for your business, but for your customers as well. Step four, use an agreed-upon template. Typically, policies and procedures use standard components, elements, to help provide necessary, consistent, and usefulness in the information that's being portrayed, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. Step five, review and analyze the policy procedure draft. Sometimes legal advice may be necessary to assure that a policy is consistent with relevant laws. So, for instance, in Brent's business, they manufacture coffee, so they have certain guidelines that are provided to them by the FDA and other organizations that they have to comply with. And so their policies and procedures are reviewed on an annual basis to make sure that compliance is being met. And so they probably, your business, Brent, probably has a board of directors that may get involved to assure that the policy is fully supported and that the policy also supports the organization's mission, goals, and objectives. Ethical issues should also be considered, and other questions should be addressed, including, is the policy or procedure reasonable? These are questions that you want to ask. Are all the requirements supported by need, facts, and or benefits? Is the policy or procedure consistent with existing policies or procedures? Can it be practically administered? So we want to create these so that they're practical, they're easily implemented, they're efficient, and they help make your life as a business owner that much easier. Once you have that draft created and written, you'll want to revise the policy and procedure draft. It has to be written clearly and specifically. It's important to be declarative, including, for example, you want to be specific if this procedure should not be used in any particular time, but could be used in another time. You don't want to use abbreviations and acronyms in your document. You want to have everything spelled out. And if the procedure is complex, you might even add a flowchart attachment that helps the reader better understand each step. And then you want to, step seven, conduct a final review. And after the policy and procedure draft is revised and rewritten as necessary, you'll want to take another look at it. You know, even put it away for a day or two and then come back and look at it with fresh eyes. That's really important. Share that with your business coach or your colleague or your partner and have them provide some feedback to you. Have them ask you questions about your draft to make sure that you're really clear about what you're saying. And then you go ahead and you make your final revisions. And that's based on the last round of input that you've got and comments and any recommendations and suggestions that have helped you make the best draft possible. And then after the policy and procedure is finalized, you will now want to publish it. So for those of you who are working as solo entrepreneurs and it's only you and your company, say you've created a policy and procedure around returns or an unhappy customer that would like their money back if they're not happy for any reason at all, well, that should be in your materials, your business materials that they have access to right up front. So they know what is expected of them, and you are clear with your expectations with them as well. So if you don't have a declared return policy, you should most likely create one because that'll be very important for you to establish credibility in your community. Implementing your policy and procedure, again, it should be distributed If necessary, it should also incorporate any new procedures, things like that. And then you want to probably have an ongoing evaluation of your policy and procedures. I know in my own experience of working with a variety of businesses and teams that, you know, I've crafted a policy or procedure, and then 3 months later, it needed to be revised. There was something I overlooked. And I typically work a lot with startup companies. So often with startup companies, there's some unknowns that we're not always aware of right away, and then they show up in the course of the business. So then I have to go back and revise those policies and procedures to the particular issues that have now surfaced. So this is an ongoing process. I want you to know that these, even though they're well-written and they help guide your business, it's important that you are also aware that they can also change as the issues related to your business change or new issues are daylighted in your business. Okay. So an action item here. I'd like you to organize your thoughts before you begin writing your outline. And I'd like you to create an outline about, again, you've already identified some issues that could benefit your business with a written policy and procedure. And then you go ahead and you start organizing your thoughts before you write your outline. And there are a number of business procedures that help you define your policy. So I'm going to review some of these now, and there's quite a number of them. So go ahead and make your notes. So obviously, administration. You know, when you administer your business, there's a bunch of things that you need to have in place. If you're a part of an organization that is larger than one person, say you have a corporation or something like that, you usually have a board of directors, shareholders, and so you're required to keep minutes. There are protocols and things like that. So you would have to have a procedure for those meetings. You would also want to have a procedure for how you're filing your records. Okay, whether you are a solo entrepreneur or part of a larger organization, you want to have everything documented and filed accordingly. You will have a procedure for form development and forms manual. Job descriptions. If you handle mail or more mail and express services, or management reporting, if you're part of a management team and you've got to report to higher management, you've got to be able to report in a way that establishes credibility for you, but also establishes a regular format for that reporting. Or if you're answering the phone, do you have a policy or a procedure of taking the phone messages or following up? How about travel and entertainment, documenting your travel costs or where your expenditures are going for any kind of entertainment in your business? So those are some of the procedures that you're going to want to think about when you're thinking about administration. Well, how about your accounting? Okay, this is really critical to the success of your business. You know, accounts payable and cash. Okay, or accounts receivable. How are you going to handle those? You know, how are you going to track them? Do you have a financial software program that's going to help you track that? What about if you received, you know, bad payments that came in to you? You know, everybody has goodwill and wants to for sure make the payment, but, you know, with today's market, sometimes people come up short. So what's your policy around a payment that doesn't go through or a non-sufficient check? How about, you know, making sure that you pay attention to your accounting and that you do regular monthly bank account reconciliation? This is critical for success of your business. How are you handling your cash receipts or any other kinds of requests related that way? if you're working with more than one person, what's the check signing authority? If you're the only one that's being able to sign the check, what about your chart of accounts? What about your capitalization and depreciation of fixed assets? You know, things depreciate, and we need to track that. What about fixed asset control? Or what about invoicing and accounts receivable? How about year-end closing procedures? Very, very important. I know that solo entrepreneurs don't think this way. You know, they're just kind of going along in their business. They're not thinking, you know, year-end closing procedure? What's that? Well, that's a very important process that helps you to close out your business for that year, get everything handy and ready for your accountant, and to move forward to reassess for what you need to do in the coming year. Another area that's really critical to your business is customer service procedure, and we kind of touched about that a little bit, but you know, sometimes it's important to maybe survey your customer's satisfaction, and in order to do that, do you have a procedure and policy in place to do that? Or what about, you know, complaint handling or post-sale customer follow-up or pricing of any kind or warranty and service policies? These are very, very important and help to create very happy customers. And then we have, you know, finance and credit procedures. You know, they might be bank loan applications and banking policy and relations. And we all come across that because we bank every day. And but this is also critical. Business plans and forecasts. You know, so many solo entrepreneurs and small business owners don't even have a business plan in place, and they don't even know how to do a forecast. So what is a forecast? Forecast is part of your business plan where you've got to financially take a look at your income as opposed to your overhead, and so that's tied into your marketing plan as well. So if you're selling, you know, X amount of services per day and it's not enough to meet your overhead, well, you're going to have to increase that. So how are you going to forecast that out, and how are you going to go about doing that? How about credit approval for your clients and customers? And do you offer credit terms, and how would you articulate those? And if you own property, there's property tax assessments. And what if you're a personal trainer and you're working with a client who injures themselves? You know, what kind of policy do you have in place to protect yourself, or you know, to protect your confidential information or release of any financial information? And then, of course, you always want to have a procedure in place to work with your weekly financial and quarterly cash flow reports. Those should be reviewed anyways on a weekly and quarterly basis. And then if you're working with a team and you're using information technology such as computers and phones and software, you know, what kind of policy do you have in place for those other people? You know, I know that I have worked with some teams where I've come in and I've caught people just wasting time sitting on their computers playing solitaire. Well, that doesn't work in my business. I need everybody to be productive. And so, you know, I have a policy in place that's not acceptable, you know, to use the company computers and software for those kinds of personal things. That's not really acceptable. Do you have a policy in place if your computer were to accidentally get a virus and you were to lose important data? You know, do you have a backup plan? That's part of your policy and procedure. Do you have a training policy in place for managing things? Or how about managing your electronic email? You know, what's your policy and procedure with that? You know, some people don't check their emails because they're overwhelmed and days can go by and that's just devastating for their business. And then you have other people who are checking your email every 2 minutes and they're not getting their other work done. So you want to be smart about how you design your policy and procedures. And then, of course, there are, you know, HR procedures, which are really important. And if you're working with another team, so your pay and payroll, you know, what day people are going to be paid on a regular basis. Do you have sexual harassment policy in place? Do you have training and tuition reimbursement in place? Do you have workplace rules and guidelines? If you own your own studio and you're seeing clients in your studio and you're training them, do you have workplace rules and guidelines? You know, do you have to wear shoes? What kind of shoes? You know, do you have workplace safety? These are very important to create compliance. Then, of course, this is the big one, sales and marketing. Everybody wants to know how they can increase sales and create better marketing procedures, right? So, you know, having a solid marketing plan is one. But if you are selling product, how are you collecting your sales tax and are you reporting it and are you, you know, legit that way? Are you managing copyrights and trademarks? That's a big one for Paul because he's such a creative genius that things are just flowing out of him every day and we have to make sure that things are copyrighted before they go out because I'm sure you've all heard him say how much plagiarism he has experienced in his life. And people just take his materials and plagiarize it all day long. He can go to a conference and there can be another presenter and they'll be presenting his material. They will look at him right in the eye and they won't give him credit. It's his material. It's amazing because I've been there with him and I've seen it. It's something else. And what about PR, public relations? Do you have a policy in place or a procedure in place? Do you send out regular news releases? What about return from goods from customers? We kind of talked about that earlier. Sales leads. Suppose you offer to one of your clients, look, you know, you're a great fan of mine, and tell you what, if you help to promote my business, I'll give you 10% off on your next visit with me. See, that could be a policy and a procedure that's in place for the sales lead. Same for sales training or trade shows. And then if you are shipping anything, purchasing or inventory anything, then you would want to have procedures for your physical inventory, for packing, storage, and distribution. How about also for purchasing, for receiving, inspection, stocking parts? These are all aspects of business that help to create a better business. When I was working with the Chopra Center for Wellbeing, I developed their entire retail operations, and I interfaced with Dr. David Simon and Dr. Chopra and the nurses and my staff and the public. And, you know, we had so much coming through that, you know, the shipping and receiving was huge. I mean, I had 600 books come in every week that needed to be inventoried in and needed to be inspected. I was constantly surveying my customers to make sure that they were satisfied with my staff. I had to provide warranties on certain items. And then I was looking at my vendors, you know, which of those vendors were actually creating value for me by providing the materials on time, or were they consistently late, or were they consistently out of stock? If so, then I started to look around for other companies that I could work with. So those are really important procedures that you're going to want to take a look at when looking at your own business. And since some of you are working with larger organizations and many of you are solo open entrepreneurs, some of this may not actually pertain to you, but a lot of it will. So your next action item then is to identify the procedures that you need to have a policy for. Okay. So once we identify what procedures we need for any particular policy that we've also identified, we need then to write them down. It needs to be clear, concise, and you want to keep the same format for each procedure and each policy, which then can be standardized into templates. And I'm a huge fan of templates. I want to make my job easier. I don't want to have to reinvent the wheel every single task that I initiate. So I use a lot of templates. I find they're very, very handy, and they just make my life so much easier because I've got my template, and boom, I can just drop my content right into it. So with your written policy and procedure documents, you'll use this format, and you'll develop a template, and you're going to capture very important data, the what, the who, the why, the when, the where, and the how. Okay, I guess you guys all remember that from grade school. We all learned what, who, why, when, where, and how. Like your mission statement, which you should have for your business, policy and procedure statements help to maintain consistency throughout your business processes. Typically, the format includes a purpose. This is your policy statement. This is your what, a purpose. And persons affected, this is your who. Your scope, this is why, when, and where. And sometimes there's a background section. Why? Why is this policy or this procedure important? And it will often have definitions, which again are the what's. And it will talk about responsibilities. Who's responsible? In the procedure section, it'll tell you the steps of the how. And the related policies, you always want to make sure that if you develop one policy and procedure document, that if it's related to other policies, then that has to also be stated, what, why, and when. So, tip, procedure steps are designed with the end in mind. Written clearly and simply, they can easily be followed by others. So, you know, in a worst-case scenario, if something ever happened to you, the business owner, guess what? Somebody could come in and salvage your business because they know what your written policies and procedures are, and they could go ahead and pick up the pieces very, very easily. Okay? Heaven forbid. The format then, when you put it into a template, can also include information about the title of the policy, title of the procedure, the effective date, the revision date, and if you're working with others, the approval section. Okay, this is real important when you're tracking your written materials. You always want to have a title, you always want to have the effective date, and if you have to do any revisions, the revision date. Development of effective forms, reports, and legal documents provides valuable written communications as well as are instrumental in making your procedures effective and are vital in successful business operations. In fact, one best practice is to combine the policy statement with the procedure document, thus eliminating the need for a separate document altogether. And I'm all about ease and making it easy and finding things very easy. So I have a drawer here where I keep all of my policy and procedures together, and it just makes it very, very easy. So you'll want to create your template again with those key things that I shared with you prior. Again, those are your purpose, the persons affected, the scope, the background section as to why, the definitions if you need to define anything, the responsibilities of who's going to be responsible, how the procedures are going to take place, or, you know, clearly outlined steps, and the related policies. In conclusion, then, business owners and managers must ensure that a wide range of policies and procedures are available and clearly articulated with certainty that this information is openly understood. And so my last tip for you is don't waste time trying to be perfect. Just get into action. It's really important. I tend to be a person who is a perfectionist, and I can get myself too dogged down in the perfection of things. So I added this really as a reflection of my own beingness, because sometimes it's better just to get into action and just do it, and it doesn't have to be perfect. You can come back and visit it. And so I wanted to summarize again tonight's class about policy and procedure. And we talked about what a policy is and what a procedure is. A policy, again, is a definite course or method of action. It's a guide, and it determines both present and future decisions. Your policy will describe what it is to be done and why it is to be done. And your procedure, again, is the process. It's the steps outlining that process of accomplishing something, an established way of doing things, a series of steps followed by definite regular order, ensuring that the consistent and repetitive approach to actions will help ensure those policies will be consistently carried out. So I think that there was a lot of information that I gave you tonight, and I hope that if you weren't able to write all of this down on your notes, you can come back and I'll have the full document up in that section. I'm not sure exactly, James, where you post that, but it'll be there for you to be able to download. I think I turned it into an article, so I think James is going to send it out to Fulcrum.
Definitely.
So these are some of the reasons why policy and procedure are very good for your business. As you can see, they really cover all of those things that we kind of think about, but maybe we don't articulate. And just think about why this would be important. Well, policies and procedures create that credibility, don't they? You know, oftentimes when I'm speaking with my clients, they ask me all sorts of things. And if I don't have an answer for them, I don't feel like I'm very credible. But if I have an answer for them, then I feel like I am better positioned to be a better support person to help them reach their outcome goals as well. Unhappy customers don't come back, while happy customers spend a lot more and become repeat customers. They also become your strongest marketing arm. So create your policies and procedures. Be thoughtful. Be consistent. Write them down. And allow yourself to just go through the process. It's not as laborious as it sounds, and it will save you lots of time, money, and energy, and create the best kind of business that you can possibly run. So I'd like to have a little bit of feedback tonight, and I was wondering if there would be anybody on the call tonight who would like to share with me just three things that they got out of this call tonight and how this information is going to help them with their business.
Okay, it's Rika.
Hi.
Okay, what I got out of the call is basically number one, that I got to get back together better. That's one. And number two, also, even though I'm running my own business, it will help me, in a way, be more concise and also forcing me to work better with my clients or my goals.
Good.
That is a big thing. And also in writing it all down, it will, of course, bring more manifestation to it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so that's one of the big ones for me. And also, if it's written down, I don't have to carry around it in my head all the time.
That's right. And yeah. just think about how that frees you up. It becomes a no-brainer, right? Because you don't mm-hmm. have to expend that energy to try to hold on to it in your brain. You don't have to really remember it. Once it's committed to paper, it's committed mm-hmm. to paper. And, mm-hmm. You know, the ones dealing with your customers and things like that, that will stay in your head because that's something that you want to communicate always. But the other ones, it's very powerful. Like you said, it'll help you with manifestation. It really will. It really will. And it will help you to work better and achieve your goals and create the success that you are deserve to create in your life.
Yeah. Thank you. No, I really appreciate this.
You're welcome. Anybody else? How about you, Brent?
Yeah, I'm off mute. Yeah, okay. You know, I personally, it's a great thing for me to fall back on the policy procedures. I don't like reprimanding people, but people mess up.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, it's a great way to make it easier to reprimand somebody because it's not a personal thing. It's not I'm saying that you can't do that. It's like, oh, the policy says it, you know?
Right.
I'll fall back on that. You know, it's that tangible policy. It's not personal. You know, not necessarily come from me. It's manual. And the other thing is, you know, that our auditors harp on, you know, that you know, they come in, they look through our stuff. It's like, oh, you should be doing this. You're not doing it. And it's like, oh yeah, we do it all the time. And they say, well, if it's not written down, then you're not doing it. You know, and it's that simple sometimes. And,
right.
You know, from a kind of CYA perspective, you know, it could, you know, it's something that can really save you later if you have it written down.
Right. So what I'm really hearing you say that your documentation, when you have a policy and procedure that encourages you to document things, then that helps with your reporting, right? Because you're a manager. And
correct.
So you've got a report. And so now you've got your documentation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very, very, very important. And also what you said about reprimands. Absolutely. It's not personal. It's the policy.
That's right. And I know a lot of people have a hard time with that, you know. And then, again, they'll dig themselves in a hole trying to, you know, they want people to think that, they want people to like them, you know, and then they might start making exceptions and show favoritism, and they'll just destroy the morale.
Right, and then it spirals out of control because then it also incites people to kind of backstab and to undermine the success of the business, really, because then they start to get very petty about themselves and forget that there's a larger organization. So having those policies and procedures in place sound like they really help you, Brent, be a more effective manager.
Yeah, I mean, when people know the rules, you know, they don't mind playing the game as much.
That's
know?
Right. I'm a big one for those kind of roles. I do very well when I know what's expected of me. I can perform very well. And if I don't know what's expected of me, I have a hard time sometimes figuring out what other people's expectations are.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody else who'd like to share with me tonight some of the key things that they got tonight? Well, James, what do you think?
Well, I think that was fantastic, Vidya, and I can really see a lot of what you talked about sort of manifest in our own policies and procedures. And certainly I know from dealing, you know, we have a variety of clients involved in PPS in a variety of different ways, and I know that having set procedures on how to meet their needs has always been just a, you know, a huge help, and so it's helpful internally, but it gives us a structure to fall back on, and it does. It's made everything on our end so much easier, especially, you know, we are technically in some ways still a startup, right? I mean, most businesses are so 5 years is considered a startup, so that's PPS success, and I know that it's made a big difference to us, so.
Yeah, and I can say that working with you, James, William, and Paul is that, you know, there are things that constantly come up that we need to revise some of our policies
mm-hmm.
and some of our procedures on, and that's okay because that allows us to embrace the larger challenges and to really support our customers and our clients in a way that creates a win-win for everyone.
And
we have to revise. We have to constantly look at what surfaces and create those revisions.
That's right. And it goes back to what you were saying about not worrying about perfection. I don't know where I picked up this little motto, but the sort of mantra I have in my head is progress, not perfection, right? And if it may not be perfect, your policy, but it's progress. As long as you're working on it, as long as you have it, it's so much better than having nothing at all. So progress, not perfection. I think
I'd like that slogan. I'm going to have to make that a slogan for myself.
Yeah. And you know what? There's always a sense of positivity that goes along with that. You know, progress. It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, fantastic. Thank you, Vidya.
Thank everybody that joined us on tonight's call. It was a pleasure to share this information. I know it was, kind of tedious in a sense that policy and procedure isn't as fun as maybe Paul Jr.'s or JP's talk this last week, which was quite exciting, actually, to hear JP talk about how he works with his clients in holistic emotional health, or even how Paul Jr. Discussed his perspective about intuition and the greater global community that he's creating as well, and why we create the way that we do. But I find that these business basics are absolutely essential to creating success in your business, and I hope that you'll take to heart some of the information that you gained this evening and actually apply that to your business. And I'd love to hear from anybody. You're more than welcome to email me, Vidya@paulcheck.com, and let me know how things are going for you, or if you feel stuck in any way, I'm here to support you in creating the best outcome for your businesses.
Definitely, because I mean that's the whole thing. It's all very well. I mean, I'm totally querying flying, but we do live in a real world.
Yes, we do.
So there needs to be a structure at fundamental levels, and as boring and as not me it is, it is essential in order for me to be able to fly.
Thank you
very much.
Because,
I mean, we have to pay rent and we have to do the day-to-day things. So
for sure.
One has to stay realistic, even though I'd much rather be doing other things.
Yes.
In getting organized and a little more grounded, it will provide a stronger platform to fly from.
And, you know, you said something really important, Rita. You said structure. And I find that with structure, when we can provide a structure, it creates a lot of space internally, doesn't it? A lot of space internally, because we're not stressed. We have the structure that supports us. And when the structure's in place, then it can help bring the very best of us into our business, the best of us to our clients, the best of us to our customers. And so,
well, yeah, I've been fighting it. I know that, because it's my weakness. And, I mean, that's exactly why I'm on the call, because I know, oh, yes, you need to get into this now.
Yeah.
So I have a very good husband, and he takes care of a lot, but I know that it's part of my responsibility, so I have to do it.
Yeah, but, you know, with your very efficient husband, you know, if you do take a stab at this, you know, I know that he will probably be a great sounding board for you as you start to commit to paper some of your policies and procedures, and sharing that with him will be a great support for you as well, to have his feedback and have him cheer you on as you assume that responsibility to make it happen. Well, again, thank you, everybody. It was a pleasure, and I look forward to the next time, next quarter, when I share again with you some more business basic ideas. I haven't chosen a topic yet, but if you have any topics that you'd be interested in to help you ground your business, I'd be happy to address that. So, again, you may just email me at Vidya@paulcheck.com. And until then, everyone, have a very pleasant evening, and I look forward to the next time. And James, thank you so much for your support. And your leadership.
You're very welcome, Vidya. Thanks for being with us tonight, and thanks for this wonderful revisiting of, you know, one of the real business fundamentals. And I think everybody who's with us tonight really recognizes the realities of the world that we're in right now financially. And I think that in times like this, returning to those fundamentals is sometimes the best strategy that we can take. So thank you. Thank you
very
much for that.
You're very welcome.
Sure. And I want to encourage anyone that feels as though they could benefit from Vidya's coaching to have a look at her mentor profile on our website at www.ppssuccess.com. And you can find her profile in the PPS Mentoring Services section once you're there. And for our next PPS Mentor teleclass, I'll be joining Josh Rubin, who will be talking about the physical and emotional side of Candida and Candida balancing. And that'll be on March 3rd. At 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So I hope everybody who's with us tonight will join us then. So thank you, everybody, and I hope to hear from you soon.
Thanks, James.
Thanks, Vidya. Thanks, everybody. Good night.